All right, guys, let's jump over to the other side of the football. Let's talk a little bit of defense. And I would say for 58 minutes, the defense was unstinking believable. I mean, they made it look like the varsity versus the JV. They made IU just out of what they wanted to do. They were forcing Curtis Rourke to, you know, throw under pressure, and he wasn't able to do it. They were getting after him from a sack standpoint. I mean, they were shutting down IU's run game. I mean, they were just that some there were some blitzes, some exotic blitzes that they were coming at. I mean, it was a complete game for 58 minutes, no doubt about that. And Notre Dame just did a fantastic job defensively. Brian, I'm going to kick it off to you and, you know, your thoughts on the defense as a whole.
It was a vintage Al Golden performance and a vintage Notre Dame performance and all the ways that I love and then the ways that drive me nuts and really mostly irrelevant manners.
Right.
You know, feeling Indiana out a little bit early, you know, and but kind of also at the same time, like, this is who we are. You know, I mean, this is who we are. We're going to come out. We're going to be aggressive. I had somebody tell me before the game, or maybe I was listening to a broad, but you know, if they heat up Indiana the way that they heat up other teams, that could get, you know, because by the numbers, Curtis Rourke's really good when you blitz him. But, you know, Trev and I talked about this during the week. Yeah, except when he played Michigan and especially Ohio State, right? Because you're playing these other teams that aren't that good. And I thought this was just overall a strong all-around defensive performance. Even the plays that Indiana made in the pass game were just like great catches against really good coverage for the most part. I thought that the pressures weren't great in that they weren't getting home a ton early, but they were forcing Curtis Rourke to speed up his process a lot. I think you could see that they were kind of in his head a little bit early. And they were kind of forcing him to get the ball where they wanted it to. They were forcing him to throw some of the slides and the checkdowns that they were kind of playing for. And I thought that Al Golden all night was kind of just one step ahead of the Indian offense. And they made some plays. They were hurting Notre Dame early with some stretch plays, especially when the backup, when Gabriel Rubio had that one drive where they, like the one good drive that Indiana had in the first half.
Yeah.
They had a couple long runs where Gabriel got double teamed and whooped on another, and then they just washed him out on a stretch play on another to gash him for a little bit. But they did a good job rallying the ball, limiting him to 17 yards and 8 yards and things like that. And then they buckled down, right? When they got closer to the red zone, they buckled down and kept them out of the end zone. And I thought that it was just a vintage Al Golden performance. I mean, it really was, guys. It just was. You know, one step ahead, mixing up, you know, who's coming. There's a couple times that I thought that Notre Dame telegraphed their intentions a little bit too much. You know, where like there were times where Jack Kaiser was like lined up and I'm looking at you, I'm like, he's smoking. You know what I mean? Like, he's not coming. Because like their body language is a little bit like, okay, you know they're coming. And there was very few times where you thought they were coming and they didn't. And very few times when they thought they were going to drop and they didn't. But I thought overall game plan was sound. I thought the Notre Dame defense played hard. They didn't play as clean as I would like. And you're going to go back and watch the film and realize that they just sometimes guys just made really good individual plays at certain times. But guys were missing gaps on the front and things like that. And there were some mistakes in that regard, but there was also a lot of different guys stepping up. And that's what made it a vintage defensive performance for this team. It's Bryce Young, one play. Right, and Trev, good call on Bryce Young stepping up as a pass rusher in the postseason, by the way. That was a great edge rush. Like Trey Wedding, like Vince was like, that's a terrible pass set. And I said to him, I was like, no, actually, I didn't say that. I should have said this to you. I said, I want to be like, but that's worked all year in the Big Ten.
Right, right. Right? I said, that's a terrible pass set. I said, did he watch any film on Bryce Young?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, you can watch film, but how do you prepare for that if no one on your team can do that and no one else that you've played in the Big Ten can do that?
I mean,
Ohio State kids gave him problems.
He barely touched him. I mean, he just went right around him.
Him on one play. It was Josh Burnham on another play. It's Riley Mills until he got hurt was playing like a second-team All-American like he was by Sporting News. You know, including not just the plays he made, but like the one – the hold, because he whooped the guy and they had to hold him. Vince was not to hold. You know, I mean, why do you – like, here's the one out thing where I'll say, I don't understand. I don't think you watch film. Like some of the things I'm like, look, running stretch plays, getting outside, I get that. Teams don't think they're as fast. But did you not at all watch what teams like and what every team that's thrown at Leonard Moore past his first start has done this year? Like, have you at all paid attention to Leonard Moore? Have you at all thought, hey, number zero, we might want to stay away from, right? Like that's the stuff that kind of got me. I'm like, you're coming out right away throwing go routes at Leonard Moore. That really seems like a good idea to you.
Yeah, good game plan.
But you know, so just those are some of my thoughts, guys. Great on third down, really good situational football. But the other thing too is, you know, we talked about this yesterday. In games like this, your dudes got to be dudes. And Riley Mills was a dude tonight till he got hurt. Xavier Watts was a dude tonight. Leonard Moore was a dude tonight. And I thought Jack played a pretty good game. He wasn't as impactful as I kind of just felt like this was going to be like a Jack Kaiser night, but he was good. He was solid. Adon Shuler was good again. You know, but Xavier Watts, your All-American, has 10 tackles and a pick. You know, I mean, and the thing is, he was not even in coverage on that play. He was trailing. But I think it was Jordan Clark and Adon Shuler, I thought, it just had great coverage and forced that ball. But, you know, it just was an all-around great performance. But it was a bunch – the dudes were dudes, but it was just different guys stepping up. Drake Bowen made a couple huge plays tonight. And he had a couple stuffs early, but like reading that screen on second down and long, where I think it was second and long, where they're a great screen team. Great screen team. And they ran a slip screen. And if Drake Bowen doesn't read it the way he read it, they've got something. But it didn't matter because he read it perfectly and just you're an offensive lineman. You're not getting to Drake Bowen if he reads the play. It's just not gonna happen. I just thought it was a great all-around team performance, but you just had different guys stepping up at different times, and your two biggest dudes were dudes. And Howard Cross didn't do a whole lot tonight, but you know what? You got him back, and he got to shake off some rust. The kid hadn't played in over a month. Actually, almost two now. You know what I mean? That was big. But you were dominant tonight without Howard Cross. And I know Indiana finished with 278 yards. They were at
140.
152.
Okay.
On 41 plays. Up to the moment Riley Leonard scored to make it 27-3. They on their last two drives, they had 126 yards on 20 plays their last two drives. All garbage touchdowns when Notre Dame started playing prevent defense.
Yep.
Which is my final piece is I hate it that Al Golden does that in almost every game.
And he did. I know you didn't listen, but they interviewed Al Golden. He came up to for the press conference and all that. And he basically said, he's like, well, at that point, we pretty much had the game wrapped up, and I didn't
and feel like
throwing.
And that's what it is.
He goes, and he flat out said, he's like, I didn't feel like throwing anything at him. Like that, he goes, that's where we're at.
And he does that at the end of every game. And you know what that tells me? Al Golden doesn't give two craps about where his team ranks statistically.
Right.
He doesn't give two craps. He cares about winning football games.
Right.
He's not in the, I'm trying to get the number two scoring defense in the country so I can get this pay raise and that. He's like, look. We won the game. We did what we need to do to win the game. I don't care if they throw a couple garbage touchdowns on the end of the game. Like, I think he got mad at Tony Elliott because the way they did it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, they've given up so many garbage touchdowns this year. It frustrates me. And it's like, if the thing that pisses you off the most is they give up too many garbage touchdowns when you're blowing a team out, you're pretty freaking good. You know what I mean? But again, that mindset – that he doesn't give a crap about where his team ranks is exactly why his defense is so good. Because they all buy into the, I don't care about all that. We're trying to dominate.
Right.
And you know what tonight? I don't care what the stats say. That defense freaking dominated tonight.
Yeah. Oh,
y'all can miss me with all that. This defense is overrated bull crap. You know what I mean? Greg McElroy. You know, I mean, Curtis Rourke's been wrecking around. I don't know what's going on. He's playing Notre Dame. Yes. And some people don't. Yes, the USC game was an anomaly. This is a good football team that they played tonight. Good receiving core they played tonight. And Notre Dame got back to playing Notre Dame football, right? And Trev, you and I talked about this. They got to bounce back from that win. Trev said yesterday, got to bounce back from the USC game. And boy, did they. Because you made Indiana earn everything they got tonight. Everything they got. No, there was no gimmies tonight. You had to make them earn it all. And this is a legit championship defense, and they showed it again tonight. Got to keep it rolling. Need three more of them, but they showed it tonight. This is an elite defense, and yes, the USC game was an anomaly.
Right.
Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Unlike other apps on Prize Picks, it's just you against the numbers. All you do is pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. I'm a Bears fan, so this one gets me really excited. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. Think Tyreek Hill will get more than 90.5 yards in week one? Aaron Jones runs for more than 66.5 yards? Cook up hot takes with your friends and win real money this football season when you and your crew run your game on Prize Picks. Prize Picks also has college picks all ready to go for you as well. Get in before game one hits and you can predict how many passing yards your favorite college quarterback will hit. For me, I think Riley Leonard's going to go above 2,550.5 yards, so I'm going to take that one. And I'm going to combine it with Quinn Ewers to throw 2,999.5 yards. Put those together and bing, bang, boom, baby. I'm going to be a winner. You just wait and see. I'm coming up on my 1 year anniversary of depositing my first $10 and I received an instant $10 bonus. If you have the skills, you can play for a shot at turning your $10 into $1,000. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code IRISH on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, run your game. Sean, thoughts on the defense?
Defense was spectacular. Brian pretty much covered everything. I thought Kurt Cinetti's interview when he went into the halftime said it all. He's like, we're not doing a good job blocking them. We can't throw interceptions. We have to take the easy routes, and our receivers have to get separation. Well, man, if you're not doing any of that, what else do you expect? Indiana does have good talent, but I think Indiana hadn't faced guys that could be sticky, particularly on the outside. Even the two catches, the catch Surratt made was just, that was bananas. The ball was like in his hands, through his legs, and he still came up with it. And then the last play that Gray gave, the coverage was really good. It was just a perfect back shoulder throw and a great catch.
Yeah.
Everybody was sticky all night. Jordan Clark gave up a couple of quick throws, but for the most part, he made some great plays in coverage. And then, like you said, Riley Mills was a dude. He was just a dude. And they were sparingly using Howard Cross. You know, I think they were trying to work him back into the rotation. Logan Thomas even got a sack, I think, at the next to last series that Indiana had. So everybody had a great game. But I just want to say this, man. Xavier Watts, man, might be one of the top five defenders I've ever seen in Notre Dame. That kid, man. And I laughed when he said it. Someone asked him, when Indiana looks at your film, you know, what do they see? And he said, I hope they see a guy that's going to get the ball on Friday night. And I was like, oh, that was kind of bold. And lo and behold, that, yo, interception. He was everywhere. And like you said, Brian, they didn't use him too much in coverage. Adon, the flexibility now, because Adon in his ascent.
He's so freaking good.
He's so good. And now they can really bring X down and use X different ways. And that really has made the defense on the back end that much more dangerous. So overall, man, I think there was one stat that I heard, which goes to Indiana and goes back to the game against Michigan and Ohio State. When they're not able to dictate offensively, they struggle. Before the last two drives, They had one first down play that went for more than 4 yards. One, which means they were off schedule all night, which means they can't dictate. Notre Dame, with early run blitzes and everything they were doing, they were aggressive. They, like you said, Brian, they were going to be who they were. They didn't wait, you know, like Indiana, like, let's wait and see if we can, you know, put six in the box and, like, control the run game. No, Al Golden came out and was like, nope, we're not giving them time. We're taking the run game away with the run blitzes. We're being aggressive. We're going to let our outside guys cover. That's what we're doing. And I thought that aggression kind of fed down to the rest of the team and the rest of the defense, and they kept it up all night. Like you said, for them to be at 153, middle of the fourth quarter, 3 points.
41 for 152 when the game was 27-3.
That's crazy. That's crazy. We're talking about a defense that's not at 100%.
Right.
This team, man, that's the word, team. Team. I forget if somebody said it, one of the players said it. No, it was Jeremiah Love. They interviewed him on the field before the game.
Yep.
And he said, yo, this team is not the same team that it was last year as far as a brotherhood belief.
Yeah.
And I don't even need the stories behind that. You can see it. You can just flat out see it. There's nothing coming to, you know, they're not breaking at the seams when things happen. It's just like, it's just workmanlike. Like one play, next play, next play. That's what Marcus Freeman preaches and has been preaching the entire time. They are fully bought in. They believe it and they go out and execute it. And if it doesn't go their way, man, go to the next play. And that defense was just surgical tonight from top down. Al Golden was not going to let them get on track. And then once they forced them, you could see Cignetti was just frustrated on the sidelines. Like, man, what can we go to? And then they went to the short passing game a little bit. But then it's only so many times you can do that because Notre Dame adjusted to that, took some things away, sticking in coverage. And then that's when the pressure started to get to Rourke. They started getting some negative plays, you know, in the pass rush as well as the run game. Hey, man. I've never really been this confident about a Notre Dame team going into playoff games. And this feels pretty good, Irish fans. This
agreed.
This feels darn good.
Yeah. Yep. Trevor, defense, brother, what do you think?
I don't want to hear anything more about how Notre Dame's rush defense isn't good. Won't hear it. I won't. I mean, it's 63 rushing yards in a game, 2.3 yards per carry against two backs that combined for 22 touchdowns this year. You know, I like Notre Dame's run defense tonight was phenomenal. Tackling was phenomenal. And you could tell, like, Sean, you brought it up. You want to talk about not being able to dictate the game. How do you dictate a football game? Establishing the ground game. They couldn't. They weren't able to move the football until, what, 2 minutes left in the game? You know? And so, I mean, to me, that just – it kind of speaks to the stats when you take out the triple option teams that Notre Dame faced this season.
Yep.
You know, but I don't want to hear any more about how Notre Dame's vulnerable in the run game. And you might like, how do you attack this defense? I'm willing to listen to all ears. Maybe we get Mike Denbrock in on the problem. How do you game plan for this defense? Because tonight, to me, they showed that they can stop the run very effectively. They allowed 2.3 yards per carry. They're true freshman corner was targeted 7 times and gave up 1 reception. Xavier Watts somehow, again, got another interception. How? Couldn't tell you.
And 10 tackles.
And, like, how do you stop it? You lose your second best, I mean, honestly, 1A, 1B, they're interchangeable, defensive tackle this game, after Howard Cross comes back for the first time healthy in almost 6 weeks, almost 2 months. BMO's down. Christian Gray's kind of still battling back from the, you know, the slump game against USC. I thought tonight Christian played pretty well.
He was good. They made two tough catches on him, which is what they do, you know?
Yeah. You know, but it's, again, how do you game plan for this team?
Yeah.
You know, and that, like, that's my takeaway from this defense is, like, regardless of what the offense does, which, I mean, they're starting to catch fire. You know, I mean, I think little nugget that I had to add before we moved over to the defense was just, dude, like, Riley Leonard was for the majority of the 12 games in the regular season, he was an athlete playing quarterback. Tonight, I think he played quarterback. You know, like, he was stepping up in the pocket when he broke outside of the pocket. He was keeping his eyes downfield. You know, like, he was taking checkdowns. He was keeping drives alive. Like, I think tonight he played quarterback. So you have a guy like that catching his rhythm. You have the number one rush defense in all of college football give up a 98-yard touchdown run on the second drive of the game. And this rush defense that supposedly can't stop the run, and that's where they're vulnerable, allowed 2.3 yards a carry tonight. I mean,
I want to add some context to that too, Trevor, because you talk about two, three. Well, you know, they sacks. Thank you, sacks. Both of their running backs averaged 3.4 yards per carry tonight. Mm-hmm. So even if you take sacks out, and you look at the two running backs, and then Miles Price had a 2-yard jet sweep. They ran the ball for 73 yards, like, from their non-quarterback sacks on 22 carries. Mm-hmm. From, again, take out the pass game. Well, they got some sacks and blah. Take that out. Cool. Let's take that out. Tyson Lawton had 34 yards tonight on 10 carries. 22 of those came on one carry. Justice Ellison had 37 yards on 11 carries. 15 of those came on one carry. So of those 73 yards they got tonight on 22 carries, 37 of them came on two carries. They're both relatively early, right? That's dominance, Trev, to your point. It's not, okay, well, you know, they had a bunch of sacks tonight. Nope. Take those out. I just gave you the numbers. 73 yards on 22 carries. And against two good backs, good running backs.
Yep.
And they shut them down. That's and did not do so, Trev. A lot of inferior defenses can do that. You can stop that, you still couldn't beat them in the throwing game. Curtis Rourke ended up with 215 passing yards. When Riley Leonard scored to make it 27-3, Vince, I believe he was under 100 at that point in time. He was under 100 yards in the fourth quarter.
It was 94. With less than
5 minutes to go in the game. He was under 100 yards passing.
Yeah. I think it was 94 yards. He got a yards.
Bunch of garbage passing yards at the end.
Yeah. He ended up with like 215, but it was 94, I think, going into those final two drives.
Yes. I definitely know he was sub 100.
Yeah.
So not only did you shut down the passing game, you shut down the run game.
Right.
So to Trevor's point, it's not like they overcommitted to the run to stop it. Like people say, well, you know, there was no Haynes King against Georgia Tech, so you could just focus all your attention on stopping tight, you know, Jamal Haynes. All right, cool. What's the excuse tonight? What's your talking point tonight, Trevor?
Hey, man.
Of why they were able to stop down run and also completely shut down Indiana's passing game.
Right. There's such a difference between stopping somebody and holding somebody to 15 yards in 60 minutes, dude. Like, there's a difference between stopping somebody and dominating somebody. So, but no, I agree. Like, it's Notre Dame's rush defense is good. This defense is good. And they're still not even healthy, man. I mean, this defense is good.
That's the scary part, right? Brian, didn't I say to you this week, if they had Botello and Traore, I would flat out pick them to win the championship.
Just give me one.
Rush element off the edge, I would flat, without question, I would pick them to beat everybody. Like, we're running the table. You know, that's really the only weakness that you can see. Maybe as you get later in the game, you know, the pass rush slows down a little bit. Maybe that becomes an issue. But for me, you know, just watching this team play, is really, it just seems like somebody's going to make a play. It's going to be somebody in their front four. It's going to be somebody in their linebacker core. It's going to be somebody in their defensive backfield. Somebody is going to make a play. But I wonder, going back to what we said offensively and their coaching, do you think they were stubborn as well offensively? Because like you said, they tried to throw outside. What, man, you didn't watch Leonard Moore against USC?
Yeah.
You didn't watch Leonard Moore since he's taken over? Yeah, Christian Gray has some plays, but gave up some plays, but it's not like he's getting blown by and people are like clear of him like 5 yards. It's like, yo, you're just going to continue to, but that's what they've been doing all year. Running the ball, throwing back shoulder fades. That's the strength of Rourke. And it seems like when they weren't able to do and dictate like they normally dictate, it was like a house of cards. Everything just began to fall to the wayside. You know, so I just think, and once again, this cat and mouse game that Al Golden does, like he has a way of making you do what you don't want to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what he did early. Like, we're going to take this run away because you're not going to be able to do both. If you hit some big plays down the field early, fine. But you're not going to be able to be balanced, you know, because as many points as they put up, wasn't like they're just this offense that just throws the ball like 60% of the time. They're a pretty balanced offense, you know. And once that balance was taken away from them, yeah, they became one-dimensional, and it was target practice on Rourke, you know, for the rest of the night, man.
Yeah.
That was impressive, man. 3 points. I thought they were going to end up with 3 points, honestly.
Well, they probably should have, but I really did. You know, that's okay.
I've never been more pissed to have my prediction basically be spot on. I predicted 28-17. I've never been more pissed in my life because I was like, because it shouldn't have been that. It should have been a game that was, you know, like I said, 27-3 and you shut it down and all this other kind of stuff. So,
I mean, it should have been 41-3. I mean, like, let's
defensively, be right. Defensively, I'm more referring to it, right? But, this team is just fun to watch, guys. It really is.
Yeah.
And like you said, Joe, you're doing it without your All-American cornerback. You're doing it without your best pass rusher. Your last year pre-All-American D-tackles, his first game back since the first Saturday of November. Your other All-American D-tackle, who was recently named the second-team All-American, he gets hurt third quarter. Was it third quarter he gets hurt? And your defense doesn't miss a beat until you call off the dogs.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, this guy makes a play, and then Drake Bowen makes a big play, and then Jack makes a big play, and then Josh Burnham makes a big early play, and man, it just was all Bryce Young makes a big play. I mean, just that's what makes this Notre Dame team so good, guys, is there's been a lot of Notre Dame teams last decade that have had a better top two or three players. Just individual talents. The 2015 team with Jalen Smith, you know, and Sheldon Day, who was, as much as I love Riley Mills and Howard Cross, they aren't what Sheldon was in 2015. He's a monster in 2015. But Kavari was really good that year. I mean, it's just top to bottom, this team is so good. And they bring guys off the bench and nothing changes. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like Donovan Heinisch comes in and it's like, boy, I thought that was Howard Cross for a second there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I thought RJ Open was really solid on the edge against the run. He doesn't get any credit because he's just not what we thought he was going to be. Very solid on the edge. We talked about that one play, Vince, where Riley just throws the guard and makes a play. But it's like the only reason Riley makes that play is because Junior Chilamaka came off the edge and just blew up the puller and forced the guy right into Riley.
Yep.
You know, and then Riley just, I mean, that's it. They are a great team defense. But I think it goes back to what I said earlier. When your coordinator doesn't give two rips about having the number one ranked defense here or the number one ranked scoring, which if Notre Dame cared about putting teams away in the fourth quarter when they're up by 4 or 5 touchdowns, they'd have the number one scoring defense in the country. But he doesn't care.
Right.
You know, to his point, like, okay, fine. Go 9-10 plays and take 3 minutes off the clock and score.
Exactly.
Like, we just whooped you.
Because that was like, the biggest enemy with the clock.
It drives me nuts. Because I'm sitting here on, you know, and doing a post podcast at 2 o'clock in the morning. But for the guy leading that defense, it's like, it's not about me. It's not about me doing this thing that I can put on my resume to show NFL teams, look what I did here, look what I did there. It's like, hey guys, we're trying to win a championship.
Right.
And I did what I needed to do tonight to get my boys in position to win a championship. And I think guys, your team is a reflection of your leadership, and it's the head coach, it's the coordinators, the position coaches, and then your team leaders. And there's a lot of self-sacrificing going on with those guys, and you just see it, and that's what makes them so good. And I got to keep it rolling for the next three games, but that's what's made this team so good. And I just love the fact we saw no shaken confidence from them tonight after what happened at USC. They knew. Guys, that's not us. We didn't play our game. We weren't getting beat by better players. We weren't getting exposed because we didn't play our game. We were making mistakes we haven't made all year. You know what happened tonight, guys? They didn't make those mistakes. They dominated Indiana. You know? So, yeah.
Listen.
Just a lot of the guys just do the stuff. Like, they don't get the love of the Crosses and the Millses and the Wattses, but they just do their jobs, man.
Yep. Exactly.
Junior Chilamaka did not play a single freaking defensive snap the first two games here. He was riding a pine. Just not playing. Wasn't a part of the plans on defense. Jordan goes down. He's got to answer the bell. And he answered the bell every freaking game. You know, and he doesn't make a lot of sexy. Just does his job. RJ Open's not the pass rusher we hoped he could be. He was a questionable run defender at Duke. You know, he's been in Notre Dame. Pretty darn good run defender. Can't rush the quarterback worth the darn, but he's pretty.
Right.
You know, he just does his job. You know, I love this. I love watching this group play. I do. Trevor Nails, this is a really good freaking defense, man.
If you're like me, you're looking for an edge for sports betting. So when I heard MasterClass had a new class on betting the odds taught by the pros who've made millions, I had to check it out. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become the best. MasterClass is the only streaming platform where you can learn and grow from over 200 of the world's best. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with MasterClass gets you unlimited access to every instructor. And you can access MasterClass on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even in audio mode. Go past guessing, learn data-driven strategies and tactical thinking from the pros who've mastered high-stakes sports betting. Sharpen your skills, assess risks, and make better decisions. And the classes really do make a difference. 88% of members feel that MasterClass has made a positive impact on their lives. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So don't wait another moment to start your learning journey with MasterClass. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes as much as 50% off. So head over to masterclass.com/Irish for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/Irish. masterclass.com/Irish. And remember, all sports betting involves risk, and you are responsible for complying with all sports betting laws in your jurisdiction. So forget the lucky jersey or the assigned seating on game day. Learn from the sharps who meticulously manage risk and evaluate data when making decisions on where and when to wager their money. Only with MasterClass. You've had Wendy's nugs dipped in sauce, but have you had them covered in sauce? Wendy's new Saucy Nugs takes the crispy and spicy nugs that you love and turn them up to 11. Choose between flavors like buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, or if you're a real heat seeker, try spicy ghost pepper only on Wendy's signature spicy nugs. I dare ya. That's 7 delicious ways to try the nugs you already love. Pick a flavor, grab some extra napkins, and prepare to nug like you've never nugged before. For a whole new way to nug, it's got to be Wendy's at participating U.S. Wendy's.
Yeah. Well, and the last thing I want to highlight before we give out some game balls is just, and I know we've said this a bunch this year, and I need to bring it up again, is just the speed of this defense. And I talked about the speed of the offense, but the speed of the defense, look, I've watched countless games in the press box, you know, Notre Dame games at Notre Dame Stadium and elsewhere, just a ton of games, right? And watching Notre Dame's defense, you know, look, they've had good defenses. They've had great defenses, right? This is an elite defense because they have the speed that they haven't had across the board that they have this year. Like there's been, you know, a Jalen Smith, or there's been a Manti Te'o. You know, there's been guys
to it. Yeah. Right. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, Kyle Hamilton, right?
Yes.
Julian Love.
There's been guys, but there hasn't been this many guys at the same time on the same defense. And I mean, I've seen numerous times where an offensive team will get the edge and you see it, you're like, oh boy, this might not be great. And numerous times this year, that thought crosses my mind. I'm like, oh, this might not be good. And then all of a sudden, there's three gold helmets taking them down for either a loss, no gain, or maybe a gain of a yard. Like, it's like, Vince, you should know this by now. You've watched this team enough this year. Like, why do you keep thinking that they're going to get the edge? They don't get the edge because Notre Dame is so fast, sideline to sideline. And that is the thing that I am reminded of every time I watch this team play, is how fast they are. Yeah. And I still don't think they get the credit for that yet. They don't. And they're not going to until they've won the last game of the season. Like that's just where I'm at with this defense. They're that good, but they're not going to get the credit until they get there. I'm convinced of that at this point. And so, look, this defense just keeps playing, man. They keep coming out. They keep dominating. They keep doing what they do, even with the injuries. I'm just impressed by the defense as a whole.
Jordan Patel goes down, Boubacar dominates. Then Boubacar goes down, and Batelho, I mean, Junior and Burnham step up.
Right.
Bryce Young starts to set flash. He goes down. Logan Thomas comes in and gets a sack. Like, it's unreal. Can I be petty for a second before we go to Please. The game balls? Hey, Football Writers Association of America, I want you to take that second team All-American award for Xavier Watts that kept him from being unanimous again. I want you to shine it up real nice. And I want you to turn that sideways and stick it up your candy. Bull crap, he's not a unanimous All-American. There's not a better safety in college football, and we saw why tonight. You know the best thing about Xavier Watts? You know every time why am I picking him to be my player of the game on defense? Because this is what he does in big games. This is what he does. This is who he is. Giving him second team All-American. You guys are clueless. My man Tim O'Malley texted me when I said it. He's like, hey, this ain't my fault. He showed me his award. He put him on first team. So my dude did it right. But that's bull crap, because you just watched the best safety in college football play ball tonight and dominate in a game that the biggest game of the year. And that's what he's done his whole freaking career since they put him on defense. When the lights are brightest, Xavier Watts is at his best. You know what I love about it? Don Shuler showing himself to be the exact same freaking way. And I mean, he's got the greatest example. Don's already kind of had that mindset, that mentality. This is a kid who's not a great player. Also, National Honor Society in high school and all that kind of stuff. But what a better example could you have of hey, I want to be like that guy than Xavier Watts. And so that second team All-American bullcrap is – y'all can stick that where the sun don't shine, because y'all got that one way wrong. Actually, try watching the sport that you cover. Just a little helpful advice for you. Actually, watch the games. Don't get Miss Georgia Malachi. No. You just watched the best safety in college football tonight play like the best safety in college football tonight. And y'all kept him from getting what he earned, which is a second straight unanimous All-American honor. But even with that, only the second defensive back in Notre Dame history to be at least consensus 2 years in a row. The only other, my dude Todd Light. When you're in company where only Todd Light at Notre Dame has done what you've done, you're star. And you know what? He played like one tonight. So can I just segue into the game balls, Vince? That's my game ball.
I was gonna say, I think you kind of went. I think you kind of did not. Yeah. Uh-huh. Look, there was a point.
The best safety in college football.
There was
FYI.
There was a point in the game where on back to back plays, the first play, Xavier Watts comes down and he makes a tackle on the perimeter. Okay. The very next play, he comes down and gets a tackle for loss in the middle of the defense, and then he comes out like a bear crawl, at the end. I leaned over to Sean Stiers and I was like, we were talking about the amazing play that Xavier Watts made in space on the perimeter. And then, there's a tackle for loss. And I go, who made that play, right? And he's like, was it Riley Mills? I go, no, it was Xavier Watts. Mm-hmm. Like, he's everywhere. Like, Zero is everywhere on the field.
What's one of the biggest issues Notre Dame's had against the run in the last month of the season was that quick pitch against the blitz. And they had an answer for it tonight. What is your answer? Put Xavier in the alley.
Yeah, exactly.
And they ran that play and he ate it up. And he makes a tackle in space. I mean, it's like, well, we got an answer for that. Hey, Zero, get on that for us.
Right.
And he did it. He's so great. And you know what the best thing about it, guys? It's one of the best kids you'll ever meet in your life. Just as a human being. As much as I hate the transfer portal, Xavier Watts had every legitimate reason on the planet to transfer out of Notre Dame. Every single one.
Yeah, they jerked him around.
He was dominating on scout team. Players, I know this for a fact, and this isn't being told by anyone that knows Xavier, like that's like it's not his parent or something like that. I'm being told this by parents of other players. Man, my kid does nothing but talk about this number 82. It was Xavier, because remember, he was 82 when he first got here. He just dominates. Like Kyle Hamilton just hates covering that guy in practice because he's so freaking good. Gave him no opportunities to play on offense. And he had every legitimate reason to say, screw this place. I'm getting shafted. I'm out. But he didn't. He stayed. He stuck through it. And what's he been rewarded with? Back-to-back All-American honors and one of the best defensive players to ever play for the University of Notre Dame. And like that's what we should be lifting up as college football analysts and college football leadership is that type of thing. This is why you don't just quit on your team because things aren't going your way. So why don't you jump in a portal when your feelings are hurt because things aren't going your way? Look what Xavier Watts has become because he stayed. Yep. He stayed and he kept fighting. He didn't quit because things weren't going his way. And he had it, guys. If he would have left, I wouldn't have blamed him.
Sure.
I wouldn't have blamed him one bit.
Nope.
But he said, nah. Nope, I'm not doing that. I'm going to finish what I started. And good Lord, has he finished it in an incredible fashion.
You're not kidding. You're not kidding. Sean, game ball, defense.
I'm a double up. Zero.
How can you not? Yeah.
No, he talked it during the week. He backed it up. And like I said, yo, I've been watching for a long time. That's a fighting Irish fan. Going all the way back to the Lou Holtz days when you had some pretty good secondary company and some pretty good defenders playing. He's one of them ones, as we say. Yep. He's one of them ones. And I'm going to miss him, man.
Oh,
there are players that you watch go, you know, we all loved Aldrick, right? But I know I said, yo, Aldrick, I love you. But I can't wait to see 4-24.
It's worked out.
And I love Aldrick.
Yeah.
I watch Broncos games to see his carries. Love Aldrick.
Led the team in rushing yesterday, right?
It's going to take me, it might take me half a season to get over X not being back there next year. That's how much I've really enjoyed watching this young man play. He is absolutely fantastic. And the story, I remember a practice. You remember when they had the injuries, right? We were standing in practice. And this one practice, they were like, well, we're going to try him back a receiver. And he's catching 50-50 balls in practice. And we're like,
yeah.
And we were really happy when he decided to go back over to the defense side of the ball and fight to get back over there. But it was like, yo, this kid is just, he's just amazing, man. It didn't matter where they played him. It just speaks to his attitude. He just went out there and played, did what the coaches asked him to do. And when he had the moment to kind of speak his mind, they were willing to listen to him and oblige him. And
do you remember the highlight video they put out from one of those practices? I think it was him. I think it was like 21. It was Buckner's freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
And they show Xavier playing receiver and he's just smoking dudes on like this post route for a touchdown. And you're just like, this is the year he's going to finally get a chance, and they never gave him that chance.
Yeah.
And so Marcus Freeman was like, well, we'll take him.
We'll take him.
You know what I mean? It reminded me of like the Barry Alvarez story. Like there's going to be a 30 for 30 someday. If there's ever 30, I've got to hear that story about how it's like Barry Alvarez. I love when Pat Terrell tells the story. Pat Terrell, you're the greatest receiver I've ever coached. Until we throw you the damn ball, you're moving to safety. Because Barry Alvarez is like, hey, we'll take him.
Right.
You know? And he turned into be a great player, helped him win a national championship, right? And that's what Xavier did, guys. I just love watching that kid play. He's everything that's right. In an era where there's so much that's wrong with college football, he's everything that's right about college football.
McGreen.
Love it.
Trevor.
I agree with everything that you guys said about Xavier Watts. But I'm going to go a different route just so I'm not the third person because I agree. And, you know, I'm going Leonard Moore. Dude's a baller. People do not talk about him enough, mostly because there's other really, really, really good players on the team. But, I mean, that dude is locked. Why you keep throwing at him, couldn't tell you. 17 targets.
Keep doing it.
Please.
Look, he would have had an interception.
He would
have had an interception. I'm telling you, I didn't see a Don coming over.
He made
to be honest with you. I was watching,
off
and I was like, "That's underthrown. That's getting picked right now. Like that's getting picked by Leonard. Like, is it happening?" And then you know, I mean, look, Adon made a great play coming all the way over and you know making a play on the ball and all that. Totally. But if he wasn't there, that's an interception, man.
So Trevor, Vince goes to me with the balls in the air. Vince goes to me, goes, "Oh, that's a pick." And I turned to Vince and I was like, "Well, I don't think it would have been a pick. I don't think he gets his foot in bounds." You know, because like, I was talking about Adon, and he's like, "No, I was talking about Leonard."
Yeah.
I was like, "Okay," because I was watching Adon.
Yeah,
because I was watching him get off the hash. That's what I was watching. I looked at the rim. I was like, "Oh my gosh, if Adon doesn't tip that pass, that's a pick."
Yes.
Leonard Moore. I thought he was talking about Adon, and he was like, "No." He's like, "If Don," he's like, "Watch the replay. If Adon doesn't tip that ball, Leonard's about to pick it." I was "Sure enough,
it's a pick, man. I'm telling you."
And they both knew it. They talked about it after the play was over.
Yeah, I'm sure. Like, dude, you rip one from me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, Leonard Moore gets my game ball. That dude is locked down.
No, and I love that.
He's 18 years old. Goodness gracious.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic.
I think both of those kids that made those plays are both teenagers.
It's nuts.
I think three of their four starting defensive backs are teenagers.
I think what they have to do now is next year they just give Leonard Moore number 20 and they give Adon Shuler number 0.
Just keep it in the family.
Just help me cushion the blow.
I like it.
Did you just say so that for your emotional support,
yes.
Trevor?
Yeah. Just to help a little bit, man. I was like, I think that's him. I think that's Zayden.
Yeah.
I mean, they play pretty similarly. So,
man.
All right. That's going to do it for our defensive chat today. We got a bunch of super chats to get to, so don't go anywhere. But, you know, make sure you hit that like button, that subscribe button, that notification bell, share with your family and friends. And, of course, jump on the boards, boards.irishbreakdown.com, all kinds of good stuff over there, and it's going to keep coming because we got more games to talk about. We got more games to talk about, man, and I could not be more fired up than I am right now. I've never been this fired up at 2:30 in the morning, I can promise you that. So I am fired up, so make sure you hang out with us over the next 12 games plus, or 12 days plus, because we're going to be bringing it to you nonstop. But we got a bunch of super chats, so hang in.